Listening test. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions. And you'll have time to check your work. At the start of each recording you'll hear this sound. You will hear each recording twice. The test is in four parts. At the end of the test, you'll be given 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 1. You're going to listen to the recording. Before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
Hello, Easy Life Cleaning Services, Jacinta speaking.
Oh, hello. I'm looking for a cleaning service for my apartment. Do you do domestic cleaning?
Sure.
Well, it's just a one-bedroom flat. Do you have a basic cleaning package?
Yes. For a one-bedroom flat, we're probably looking at about 2 hours for a clean. So we'd do a thorough clean of all surfaces in each room and polish them where necessary. Does your apartment have carpets?
No, I don't have any, but the floor would need cleaning.
Of course. We'd do that in every room. And we'd do a thorough clean of the kitchen and bathroom.
Okay.
Then we have some additional services, which you can request if you want. So, for example, we can clean your oven for you every week.
Actually, I hardly ever use that. But can you do the fridge?
Sure. Would you like that done every week?
Yes, definitely. And would ironing clothes be an additional service you can do?
Yes, of course.
It wouldn't be much, just my shirts for work that week.
That's fine. And we could also clean your microwave if you want.
No, I wipe that out pretty regularly, so there's no need for that.
We also offer additional services that you might want a bit less often, say every month. So, for example, if the inside of your windows need cleaning, we could do that.
Yes, that'd be good. I'm on the 15th floor, so the outside gets done regularly by specialists, but the inside does get a bit grubby.
And we could arrange for your curtains to get cleaned if necessary.
No, they're okay. But would you be able to do something about the balcony? It's quite small and I don't use it much, but it could do with a wash every month or so.
Yes, we can get the pressure washer onto that.
Now, listen to part one again.
Hello, Easy Life Cleaning Services, Jacinta speaking.
Oh, hello. I'm looking for a cleaning service for my apartment. Do you do domestic cleaning?
Sure.
Well, it's just a one-bedroom flat. Do you have a basic cleaning package?
Yes. For a one-bedroom flat, we're probably looking at about 2 hours for a clean. So we'd do a thorough clean of all surfaces in each room and polish them where necessary. Does your apartment have carpets?
No, I don't have any, but the floor would need cleaning.
Of course. We'd do that in every room. And we'd do a thorough clean of the kitchen and bathroom.
Okay.
Then we have some additional services, which you can request if you want. So, for example, we can clean your oven for you every week.
Actually, I hardly ever use that, but can you do the fridge?
Sure. Would you like that done every week?
Yes, definitely. And would ironing clothes be an additional service you can do?
Yes, of course.
It wouldn't be much, just my shirts for work that week.
That's fine. And we could also clean your microwave if you want.
No, I wipe that out pretty regularly, so there's no need for that.
We also offer additional services that you might want a bit less often, say every month. So, for example, if the inside of your windows need cleaning, we could do that.
Yes, that'd be good. I'm on the 15th floor, so the outside gets done regularly by specialists, but the inside does get a bit grubby.
And we could arrange for your curtains to get cleaned if necessary.
No, they're okay. But would you be able to do something about the balcony? It's quite small and I don't use it much, but it could do with a wash every month or so.
Yes, we can get the pressure washer onto that.
That's the end of part one. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 2. You're going to listen to another recording. Again, before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
Ruby, happy World Vegan Day! I made you this cake!
Thanks, Jono! It's, definitely vegan.
Vegans can be hard to cook for. Like vegetarians, they don't eat meat, but they also rule out other animal products, like eggs, milk, and sometimes even honey. There are different reasons people choose to be vegan, like animal welfare or as a way to eat healthier. But there's another reason that's been getting a lot of attention recently. Last month, a big study came out looking into the effect our food has on the environment, and it found that eating less meat is one of the most important things we can do to help the planet. You see, a huge amount of the Earth's resources go into raising livestock for meat. In some places, forests are cleared to make space for animals and to grow their food. They also use a lot of water, and these ones in particular create a lot of carbon emissions. Cow burps and farts account for about 16% of global greenhouse gas emissions. The study says to prevent permanent damage to our planet, the average world citizen needs to eat 75% less beef, 90% less pork, and 50% fewer eggs. Of course, not everyone's going to go vegan or give up eating meat completely, but swapping your beef for beans or your chicken for chickpeas every so often might not be such a bad idea.
Now listen to part two again.
Ruby, happy World Vegan Day! I made you this cake!
Thanks, Jono. It's, definitely vegan.
Vegans can be hard to cook for. Like vegetarians, they don't eat meat, but they also rule out other animal products, like eggs, milk, and sometimes even honey. There are different reasons people choose to be vegan, like animal welfare or as a way to eat healthier. But there's another reason that's been getting a lot of attention recently. Last month, a big study came out looking into the effect our food has on the environment, and it found that eating less meat is one of the most important things we can do to help the planet. You see, a huge amount of the Earth's resources go into raising livestock for meat. In some places, forests are cleared to make space for animals and to grow their food. They also use a lot of water. And these ones in particular create a lot of carbon emissions. Cow burps and farts account for about 16% of global greenhouse gas emissions. The study says to prevent permanent damage to our planet, the average world citizen needs to eat 75% less beef, 90% less pork, and 50% fewer eggs. Of course, not everyone's going to go vegan or give up eating meat completely, but swapping your beef for beans or your chicken for chickpeas every so often might not be such a bad idea.
That's the end of part two. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 3. You're going to listen to another recording. Again, before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
D. Today I'm talking to two young journalists, Angus Brown, a news reporter on a national daily, and Yolanda Zouche, a features writer on a London evening paper. You're both not only successful in your careers, but enthusiastic about them too. What would you say is the most challenging aspect of your work, Yolanda?
I'm tempted to say nothing, really. I like it all, some things more, some less. Our features are a mix of things that have been thought of and researched and written in advance, and more urgent, topical pieces with a quick turnaround. I'm sometimes sent out on a story that's needed for the next day. It's pretty scary when you know you've got just a few hours, and it can involve finding people whose addresses you don't know. That's the same with any story, of course. You'll have to think up ideas for pictures to go with it, and write your piece to a fixed word count. But you soon find yourself doing this automatically.
And what do you both enjoy about your work?
Well, I suppose I'm quite a nosy kind of person, so I love digging out stories that haven't been reported. I'll go from interviewing a singer about a forthcoming tour to investigating some crime, all in one day, perhaps. I'd be bored otherwise, I think, and then it's all got to be presented in a way that will make people want to read it.
And you, Angus?
There's no way I could describe my typical working day. That's the sort of question people often ask, and that's really why I enjoy it so much, I suppose. So many fascinating people to talk to, and so much to learn.
Like several other papers nowadays, Angus, yours has an online version. What do you think is the greatest significance of the change to digital?
It's completely altered the way we think about the news. Things move so very quickly, and we really do need to stay receptive to all the opportunities the medium has opened up. I think maybe more people are better informed these days. We've certainly become a rolling news operation. I can now file a story as soon as it breaks, early, and then update digitally as I find out more. And if I get anything wrong, people are all too quick to point this out on social media.
Finding a job is not easy for anyone. What was it like for you, Angus?
It certainly wasn't easy. People continually told me that print journalism was dead and there was no money in it. But in fact, I had to beat 1,800 applicants to get on the graduate scheme. Before that, I'd been on a couple of temporary work experience placements with a local paper. You can do these to get a taster of the work, but there's no salary. I managed financially because I was doing some part-time teaching at the same time. You really need some sort of support network of people with influence too. Luckily, the work experience provided that.
Tell us what qualities you think a would-be journalist needs, Yolanda.
There's no straightforward answer to that. I've got an English degree and Angus is a historian, I believe. That's his academic background. There are plenty of good courses around, and eventually you'll have to get to grips with some of the technical stuff, like media law and so on. But remember, no one is ever going to employ a shy retiring type with no ideas. Being able to write clearly and quickly and think through a tangle of information is obviously helpful, but these are things you can develop with practice.
And what would you say, Angus, is a good preparation?
Now listen again.
Today I'm talking to two young journalists, Angus Brown, a news reporter on a national daily, and Yolanda Zouche, a features writer on a London evening paper. You're both not only successful in your careers, but enthusiastic about them too. What would you say is the most challenging aspect of your work, Yolanda?
I'm tempted to say nothing, really. I like it all, some things more, some less. Our features are a mix of things that have been thought of and researched and written in advance, and more urgent, topical pieces with a quick turnaround. I'm sometimes sent out on a story that's needed for the next day. It's pretty scary when you know you've got just a few hours, and it can involve finding people whose addresses you don't know. That's the same with any story, of course. You'll have to think up ideas for pictures to go with it and write your piece to a fixed word count, but you soon find yourself doing this automatically.
And what do you both enjoy about your work?
Well, I suppose I'm quite a nosy kind of person, so I love digging out stories that haven't been reported. I'll go from interviewing a singer about a forthcoming tour to investigating some crime, all in one day, perhaps. I'd be bored otherwise, I think. And then it's all got to be presented in a way that will make people want to read it.
And you, Angus?
There's no way I could describe my typical working day. That's the sort of question people often ask. And that's really why I enjoy it so much, I suppose. So many fascinating people to talk to, and so much to learn.
Like several other papers nowadays, Angus, yours has an online version. What do you think is the greatest significance of the change to digital?
It's completely altered the way we think about the news. Things move so very quickly, and we really do need to stay receptive to all the opportunities the medium has opened up. I think maybe more people are better informed these days. We've certainly become a rolling news operation. I can now file a story as soon as it breaks, early, and then update digitally as I find out more. And if I get anything wrong, people are all too quick to point this out on social media.
Finding a job is not easy for anyone. What was it like for you, Angus?
It certainly wasn't easy. People continually told me that print journalism was dead and there was no money in it. But in fact, I had to beat 1,800 applicants to get on the graduate scheme. Before that, I'd been on a couple of temporary work experience placements with a local paper. You can do these to get a taster of the work, but there's no salary. I managed financially because I was doing some part-time teaching at the same time. You really need some sort of support network of people with influence too. Luckily, the work experience provided that.
Tell us what qualities you think a would-be journalist needs, Yolanda.
There's no straightforward answer to that. I've got an English degree and Angus is a historian, I believe. That's his academic background. There are plenty of good courses around, and eventually you'll have to get to grips with some of the technical stuff, like media law and so on. But remember, no one is ever going to employ a shy retiring type with no ideas. Being able to write clearly and quickly and think through a tangle of information is obviously helpful, but these are things you can develop with practice.
And what would you say, Angus, is a good preparation?
That's the end of part three. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 4. You're going to listen to the final recording. Again, before you listen, you'll have 20 seconds to read the instruction carefully. And you'll listen to the piece twice.
On first glance, this may look like a traditional classroom with one teacher in charge, but on closer inspection, it appears that there are two teachers leading instruction. Well, that's because there are. This is Herndon Middle School, and this class is an example of co-teaching.
Co-teaching is a model of instructional delivery in which there are two certified teachers in a classroom, which contains students of varying levels of need and ability. The great thing about Lisa and Jennifer is when you walk into their classroom, there's no clear delineation between this is the general ed teacher in the classroom, this is the special ed teacher in the classroom. There are two teachers in that classroom, and they both have shared responsibility for every student. We really are making strides at Herndon to moving away from that mine and theirs perception of students and who belongs to who. If they're a Herndon Middle School student, they belong to every teacher in this building. And Lisa and Jennifer exemplify that.
Herndon has more than 20 co-teaching teams, which usually pair a content area general educator with a special education teacher. These teams allow teachers to share expertise and actively engage, challenge, and motivate students.
Most of my teaching career has been in a traditional model where I was the teacher for the entire classroom. And what I love about team teaching is through all phases, we're talking about individual students and what their needs are. And I love working with a special education teacher who has the background for ways to help students that are struggling. So we plan there, and then in the classroom with flexible grouping, with students that need different things at the same time, we're able to do that together in the classroom. So I feel much more effective through the entire process.
And I'm a first year teacher, and it's made the transition really easy. And I love how I get the English expertise from Ms. Merrick, and then I can kind of bring my special ed learning strategies expertise to that as well. So it's very helpful because I also co-teach with another teacher and I share a room with another teacher. I also get information from them or lesson plan ideas from them, and I can bring them to her and vice versa. So we're kind of like cross-pollinating, which is really great.
As part of FCPS's commitment to closing the achievement gap, Herndon is one of 30 schools designated as priority schools by the school system. Herndon Middle gets additional support in order to meet student achievement benchmarks. The staff at Herndon believes that co-teaching is an integral part of student success.
I absolutely think this will help close the achievement gap because we are able to focus more on individual student needs, and with more eyes and more ideas looking at what students need and then being able to work with them, it helps tremendously. And I think the students really like it as well because they have two different approaches. They see us cooperating, and I think that lends to a feeling that we're all in this together. We're all trying to help everyone achieve the most that they can.
I definitely think using co-teaching helps close the achievement gap because we have two minds thinking of lessons, two minds thinking about how we can teach the students in the most effective manner. It decreases wait time, transition time, and really allows us as teachers to get to the students and see if there's any misconceptions at all before they start practicing.
And the reason I think that is because when you have two teachers who are working together to truly build and deliver dynamic instruction, that you can meet those individual needs of every student in the classroom. And I also think that by mixing students, by not creating 21st century segregation by here are our achieving kids, here are our non-achieving kids, and separating them, that those students can then learn together and build on each other's strengths.
That's a good question.
Now listen again.
On first glance, this may look like a traditional classroom with one teacher in charge, but on closer inspection, it appears that there are two teachers leading instruction. Well, that's because there are. This is Herndon Middle School, and this class is an example of co-teaching.
Co-teaching is a model of instructional delivery in which there are two certified teachers in a classroom, which contains students of varying levels of need and ability. The great thing about Lisa and Jennifer is when you walk into their classroom, there's no clear delineation between this is the general ed teacher in the classroom, this is the special ed teacher in the classroom. There are two teachers in that classroom, and they both have shared responsibility for every student. We really are making strides at Herndon to moving away from that mine and theirs perception of students and who belongs to who. If they're a Herndon Middle School student, they belong to every teacher in this building. And Lisa and Jennifer exemplify that.
Herndon has more than 20 co-teaching teams, which usually pair a content area general educator with a special education teacher. These teams allow teachers to share expertise and actively engage, challenge, and motivate students.
Most of my teaching career has been in a traditional model where I was the teacher for the entire classroom. And what I love about team teaching is through all phases, we're talking about individual students and what their needs are. And I love working with a special education teacher who has the background for ways to help students that are struggling. So we plan there, and then in the classroom with flexible grouping, with students that need different things at the same time, we're able to do that together in the classroom. So I feel much more effective through the entire process.
And I'm a first year teacher, and it's made the transition really easy. And I love how I get the English expertise from Ms. Merrick, and then I can kind of bring my special ed learning strategies expertise to that as well. So it's very helpful because I also co-teach with another teacher and I share a room with another teacher. I also get information from them or lesson plan ideas from them, and I can bring them to her and vice versa. So we're kind of like cross-pollinating, which is really great.
As part of FCPS's commitment to closing the achievement gap, Herndon is one of 30 schools designated as priority schools by the school system. Herndon Middle gets additional support in order to meet student achievement benchmarks. The staff at Herndon believes that co-teaching is an integral part of student success.
I absolutely think this will help close the achievement gap because we are able to focus more on individual student needs, and with with more eyes and more ideas looking at what students need and then being able to work with them, it helps tremendously. And I think the students really like it as well, because they have two different approaches. They see us cooperating, and I think that lends to a feeling that we're all in this together. We're all trying to help everyone achieve the most that they can.
I definitely think using co-teaching helps close the achievement gap, because we have two minds thinking of lessons, two minds thinking about how we can teach the students in the most effective manner. It decreases wait time, transition time, and really allows us as teachers to get to the students and see if there's any misconceptions at all before they start practicing.
And the reason I think that is because when you have two teachers who are working together to truly build and deliver dynamic instruction, that you can meet those individual needs of every student in the classroom. And I also think that by mixing students, by not creating 21st century segregation by here are our achieving kids, here are our non-achieving kids, and separating them, that those students can then learn together and build on each other's strengths.
That's a good question.
The end of part 4. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. That's the end of the listening section. You now have 2 minutes to check all your answers. Time's up. Thank you.